Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
On day 12 of the government shutdown, America's national parks are feeling the impact. Many of them have stayed open, but they don't have the staff there to enforce rules, collect entrance fees, and even clean the bathrooms. In some parks, volunteers have stepped in to help. That has happened at Joshua Tree National Park in Southern California. Joshua Tree includes parts of the Mojave Desert and a number of mountain ranges. John Loretic has been coordinating volunteers there. He's a retired park ranger and now heads the nonprofit Friends of Joshua Tree National Park. John, would you, if you can, give us a ground report on the park today?
Yes, I've been into the park at least a dozen times over the past 10 days or so. And, you know, things are okay, but the longer this shutdown goes down, the more the park needs its real maintenance people in there to do their jobs. Right now here in the high desert, we are trying to stem the tide, so to speak, and try and keeping the bathrooms as clean as we can keep them and the trash bins as empty as we can. With the amount of visitation we have right now over the holidays, tens of thousands of people pour into the park, and the day-to-day maintenance in those bathrooms needs to happen, and we've come together and have done that and are ready to do it as long as this shutdown continues.
How have members of the community come to the fore? What specifically have they been doing?
Well, for folks that are not able to come up into the park and help us, they've been donating money and materials. We have one of the local outfitter shops, Nomad Adventures, as a repository for people to drop off supplies, whether it's trash bags, toilet paper, gloves, cleaning supplies. And then every morning at 10 o'clock, we meet up, we distribute those supplies and send folks out to different parts of the park to sweep up, clean up, and restock the pit toilets that are all up in the park.
And are these people mostly those like yourself who have worked at the park in the past?
No, I don't think so. I've been getting messages from people who are visiting the park on vacation saying they want to help out. But there's a lot of local folks, too, that just love Joshua Tree National Park and the high desert itself and want to keep the park as clean and as great as it is today, tomorrow, and in the future.
We spoke with someone who was volunteering briefly yesterday, Bonnie Hawthorne, who said that a lot of people who were going to the park as visitors were going out on the trails with their dogs, and that is not allowed because the dogs scare wildlife in the parks. Are most of the infringements that you are witnessing people who mean any harm to the park, or is this just more people kind of not knowing the rules and nobody being there to enforce them?
That's a great question. I think most of the folks just don't know the rules. The national parks run on special rules and regulations. They're trying to preserve their areas for future generations. Most of the folks in the park, 99%, are doing just what they need to do. But with this volume of people we have in the park, traffic is a problem, parking is a problem. I've heard of some vandalism. I haven't seen any. But the longer this shutdown goes down, the more at risk our cultural and natural resources are in the park.
So you're worried about long-term damage. For those who haven't been to Joshua Tree National Park, is there anything in particular about what's there that you think is particularly vulnerable?
I think we have cultural history of peoples using this land for thousands of years. So we have rock art and pottery charts and all kinds of different historic evidence of people living in the past. We also have a rich mining history, and there's plenty of mining sites with all kinds of historic features in those mining sites too. So, and some of those are remote, and so you can't really check them on a daily basis. But I'm just hoping that now with no or minimal law enforcement presence that those sites are just remaining just the way they are.
John, have you gone out yourself as a retired law enforcement ranger to check out particular parts of the park and either been more dismayed or less once you've been out there?
That's a great question. With the holidays, the visitation in the park is just, it's phenomenal. There's people parking everywhere. So I've seen this kind of visitation before, and I'm actually surprised at the minimal amount of damage or minimal amount of problems that are happening in the park. But, you know, it doesn't take but one person to drive off-road into the desert, and then that desert is scarred for years to come. The desert just doesn't recover quickly.
How concerned are you, I wonder, about other national properties around the country?
I'm very concerned because Joshua Tree has some historic artifacts in the park and things like that, but there's other parks that have just a gold mine of artifacts and resources that are basically unprotected right now. And I would hate to see those pieces of our history and heritage disappear during this shutdown. So if folks can come together and volunteer for their federal lands that are in distress right now, in need of help, that would be great if they could come together in a community effort and support their parks, whether it's cleaning bathrooms or just checking on these valuable one-of-a-kind sites that all these parks hold.
That's John Loretig, executive director of the nonprofit Friends of Joshua Tree National Park. Thanks very much, John.
Thank you, Lisa.
Let's get a bigger picture now. John Garter is senior budget director of the nonprofit National Parks Conservation Association, which is an advocacy group that is aimed at protecting the national parks. Welcome, John.
Thank you for having me.
So we were hearing there about what's happening at Joshua Tree Park and the concerns over whether there might be long-term damage because of the shutdown. What are you hearing from parks around the country? Is that a common concern, and what particular challenges are you hearing about?
It is a common concern. There are a number of parks that are actually closed outright, but at a lot of parks we're seeing the same kind of damage at Joshua Tree at varying levels of scale. So overflowing trash bins, human waste in inappropriate places, altercations over parking spots, and other impacts that we fear are a threat to visitor and wildlife safety, as well as the protection of the natural and cultural resources for which these places were designated.
And where in particular are the bulk of the problems happening?
We're seeing impacts at Shenandoah, at Grand Canyon, at the parks in the Southwest, at Yosemite, and a number of other parks.
Why did this park stay open, by the way? If some have shut down, would it be better to avoid any kind of human interaction at all during the shutdown?
Unlike the 16-day shutdown in 2013, this administration elected to take an approach that would allow for partial closures of a number of parks.
And in your view, do you think it would be a better idea for all parks to close during the shutdown?
Well, the best thing would be for all parks to open entirely with decision makers coming to an agreement. It's really not a situation that should have happened to begin with.
Christmas and New Year's are, of course, very big times for vacationers to go to national parks across the country. But this year, the parks are apparently doing away with entrance fees. There are no entrance fees that they're bringing in, so a lack of income must be a concern. How much revenue are the national parks losing?
Our estimate is that the park system is losing somewhere in the order of $400,000 a day. So when you do the math, it's over $4 million that they've lost so far, and that's money that they really need.
Money that they really need because they have been shorthanded anyway. I know rangers across the board pretty much have been demoralized because of the lack of staff to be able to keep the parks in the shape they'd like.
Rangers are, of course, very demoralized right now because they want to be in the parks serving visitors and protecting them. But they're coming into this situation where they are already challenged. Over the last several years, we've seen an 11% reduction in Park Service staff due to underfunding. But at the same time, there's been a 19% increase in visitation.
Have you heard from any of your colleagues, or have you yourself been out in any of the parks to see what's happening during the shutdown?
A lot of my colleagues have been in parks, as well as talking to parks friends groups that support them. One colleague of mine at the Grand Canyon observed that the park concessioner was having difficulty keeping up with plowing the roads, which was creating a dangerous situation. And while he was there, there was an accident with a truck going off the road and hitting a car.
And the volunteers, such as the one that we just heard from before we spoke with you, to what extent are they making a dent in what's happening?
We really commend the volunteers who've been helping to try to take care of parks and make sure that visitors have a safe and enjoyable time. The problem is that it's a really unsustainable situation and unfair to ask them to use their limited resources to step in to try to serve the role of the Park Service.
All right. Nice to talk to you. Thank you very much, John Garter, Senior Budget Director of the nonprofit National Parks Conservation Association. Thank you again.
Thanks, Lisa.
This is Here and Now.